Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me, Gabriel Weiner.
Yes.
I want to make sure I get this right. Founder of Fluent Forever. The number one most funded app of all time, on Kickstarter.
Yes.
That is the craziest shit I have ever heard.
Happy to bring that to you then.
Yeah, I'd say so. This is like something that we should like put on our show for or on our website as part of our marketing. Can we borrow your success
Please.
For our marketing?
Yes, yes.
Done.
Yes, done.
So right off the bat, why don't we talk a little bit about what Fluent Forever actually is? Other than the number one most funded app on Kickstarter of all time.
That's all it is. It's just a title. No, Fluent Forever is a...
We got the downloads and we just pulled the app off the thing. We're done.
Yeah,
we won. Like,
that's all we need. Fluent Forever is a language learning method that basically skips translation and focuses on teaching kind of the associations that you have in English except in a new language. I wrote a book back in, it came out in 2014 about learning languages that used a bunch of pre-existing tools. And those tools were tricky to use. There was a lot of like user interface issues. This kind of solves those issues and automates the things that can be automated and just puts the choices in front of users that they need to actually make.
Very cool. What is your background, just curiously?
Weird.
You have a weird background.
Weird
That's a
background,
great response. What's your background?
No,
it's actually pretty weird, actually. I'm a weird guy.
I'm a weird guy, yeah. I studied mechanical engineering and opera.
Okay.
I became an opera singer and did a
master's. I can see the tithe here, though. Like, I get why a person would want to learn languages in opera, obviously.
Yeah. No, it definitely provided the motivation. And the mechanical engineering stuff provided the problem-solving skills and the problem-solving focus. So I pursued opera over in Vienna. I did 6 years over there, did a master's degree over there, and then this book thing happened.
What was the language that, like, was the impetus? So you're like, I really need to learn how to be able to do this.
German is what started this thing in terms of me actually realizing I could learn a language. Like,
yeah.
I had spent 7 years in, like, elementary school and middle school learning Hebrew. I spent, like, 5.5 years in middle school and high school learning Russian and got, like, nowhere. And I was like, okay, well, I must be bad at this. Like, almost everyone concludes at the end of these experiences.
I feel like when you're dropping Hebrew and Russian around... I was actually in my head thinking Russian because I have Russian relatives. I'm thinking, I don't know that I would judge myself so harshly. Like,
but I mean,
if you can't pick up Pig Latin, you know, that's where maybe I start to question your abilities.
I'm just saying, like, you spend that many years of your life, and also, like, you enjoy the classes, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, I chose Russian
so that's
because
where
I
got
liked
lost.
The teachers.
I didn't enjoy the classes.
I did. And I was like, I was studying, and I was getting good grades, and at the end of it, I was like, hey, where's my Russian at? Nowhere. And, like, that's really frustrating.
But, you know, that's the thing. That's not unfair. Like, people, and you mentioned the child part of it, because that is part of the, I think, part of the challenge. We make ourselves afraid of failure to a point, especially in education, because you're graded based on failure. You
sure.
got an F, you failed.
Right.
I got a lot of them. But the point was, when you measure things in that regard, language, like sports, like other things that take nuance, that take IQ, not IQ in your brain, but like IQ in that thing. Like, what is the context of this?
Mm.
What am I trying to say? It is a hard thing to do. And the one thing that I think kept me back from it was failure, fear of failure. Was me thinking like,
sure.
Well, I don't want to sound like a dummy and not be able to say these certain words or whatever. So then I would just master all the bad words. That way, when I screw up, I'd be like, you know. Whatever, shice, whatever, and I'd say something, and then you know, then it was funny, and I could walk out.
Sure, and like that is one of the advantages the kids have is that they don't have that fear of failure. But like, I think people come into the language learning thing with this belief that like kids are really, really good at this thing, and you lose something, and then now I'm an adult and I'm screwed. And like, if you actually look at the data, that's actually like that's a myth. That's not true at all. Like, if you correct for the number of hours that you're looking at, like usually you run to France, you take like. A bunch of French courses, you show up in France and your French is terrible. And this 5-year-old kid like is correcting your French and is way better than you. And you're like, like what the hell? Why is it? This isn't fair. And like in any of these cases, the kid has around 15,000 hours of exposure and you're playing around with your 200 hours and you're judging yourself for this thing. And whenever you correct for that and you take a kid with 500 hours of exposure and an adult with 500 hours of exposure, the adult will win every time. The adult always has better learning abilities than kids. But the kids do have this kind of fearlessness thing that allows them to get more exposure than you because they're willing to just run out into areas where you're like, maybe I'm just going to stay at home and, you know, play around on Google.
Yeah. So what was that moment then? So you now realize, okay, I want to be better at this. how did you put this all into context and actually start developing this and then start building a company out of it?
This method came out of an experience with French. I had learned German through immersion. I had learned Italian through immersion. I was like, okay, this immersion thing's really cool. I'm going to go to French immersion and do this again. And I didn't want to be in level one because that was like, I knew some Italian and I figured I'd probably be able to kind of make do in level 1.5 for like false beginners. And so they gave us an online placement test to figure out what level we'd be for this immersion course I applied to. And I cheated on it like as much as I could.
Yeah.
With Google Translate.
Naturally.
And I cheated too well.
It's what any good person would do.
Exactly. And so I got into the intermediate level and I had 3 months to prepare for a 15-minute conversation in French. And I was like panicking.
Yeah, I suspect so.
And I found these flashcard tools online that were designed to just dump information in your head. And everyone was using them with translations, and I knew that that wasn't a good route for me. And so I reworked that to use pictures and more French and connected French words to French words. And I showed up at that interview with the first time I ever spoke French in my life, and I could hold a conversation in French, and I could think in French. And I was like, what is this thing? And the teacher was like, oh, you speak French. You should be in the advanced level, and bumped me up another level. And I finished.
This is counterproductive. This is not what I was intending.
Right. I mean, it was good.
It
was
ultimately,
fine.
It is what
it's
you're
exactly
intending.
Exactly what I was
aiming
for. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it blew. Like, I did not expect that result. And so, like, I was fluent in 5 months at the end of that thing. And I was like, this is new.
Yeah.
This is important. I should write about this. And so I started writing about it, and it got some attention, and then a lot of attention, and then a book. But all the way through this thing, there's been this kind of struggle with the apps, with the user interfaces here. And when I've been teaching workshops, I'll teach a 12-hour workshop, and like 6 to 8 hours are dealing with the user interface. And like, I know people are struggling with this, and I've known it all the way through. And finally, like, now is the time where it's like, hey guys, want to build an app that makes like this actually easy? And then all my readers are like, yeah, please, like, let's do this thing.
So one question I'd have for you, and this is not on the user experience as much as just learning experience. I'm for whatever reason blanking on the name right now, but we had a company recently that was crowdfunding that was on our show, and they had built this tool that was basically a plug-in to your Google Pay, your Chrome, Chrome essentially.
Sure.
And it would replace common words that you would see throughout your reading on any website with words of the language.
I remember this thing. It was a cool app. Yep.
And they were out of Stanford. And I remember just being blown away by it because I feel like that's one of those things for me. If you're a regular reader or you're a person who picks up lots of things, and I learn by writing and memorizing things. That's just the way that my brain has always been for learning. And so I felt like that was a great way to do it. And then I didn't stick with it like I don't stick with most things in life. But how do you see that as like, collective, like, what is the perfect tool, or is it Fluent Forever is the perfect tool? What is the perfect tool to get people to learn new languages and sort of knock out some of the crazy?
I mean, I'm aiming for this to be an ideal tool. If I found something that I could use that would be awesome, I would stick it in this thing. One of the issues with almost all language learning apps and tools out there is that they are reliant upon translations. And one of the problems is that when you store languages, like storing a language such that you can actually think in it, is not a matter of storing translations.
Correct.
Like, translators learn to speak and think in a language, and then on top of that, they learn translation skills.
Yep.
Like, there are reasons why translators are paid, like simultaneous translators are paid $300 an hour.
Yeah.
It's because it's really hard work.
Yeah.
And so the idea of expecting that out of beginning language learners, of being like, okay, you should learn how to translate, is like, well, but translation's hard. Like, anytime I go on like interviews and stuff, and someone's like, oh, can you say this in French? And I'm like, I hate that. Like, it's just like,
you could have gone all the way with it. You're fine.
All right,
I got where you're going.
It's just frustrating because it's like I hate translation in the sense that it is so hard to do.
Yeah.
Why not just
think
in pictures
on like, that? So on that note, then, we talk about tech all the time. You know, I'm sure you're aware with smart speakers, the big thing everyone's got rolling right now is that it has an instant translator to where people are talking into it and I can hear it.
Sure.
And I think personally for certain things, for me, it would be great.
Yeah.
I speak to people that are different founders of companies, particularly those in China and elsewhere. I have no clue what the hell they're saying.
Yeah.
And it would be perfect to let them speak in their native language and just roll from there. The challenge is, however, I think that it has the same negative impact as writing for social media does for regular people. It makes them illiterate.
Hmm.
People write very poorly. Their grammar is for shit. They can read. Their reading pace is about on par, where it was. Our overall literacy might be higher, but more people are literate. But the actual ability to write properly is absolutely in the tank. Doing this sort of technology that just enhances our abilities, I think, actually takes our abilities back. I think people would be less inclined to learn the language because they can just go, oh, no problem, just talking to this here, and I can hear it my smart speaker.
I mean, I think that technologies like that will absolutely make it so that some people don't choose to pull out a phrase book. They'll choose their phone instead. But like having a conversation with someone, like a real conversation, is different when there's a translator involved.
Yeah.
And so that sort of like person to person, like we are interacting, that's missing when there's a third party, whether the third party be an actual person who's translating or Google.
Yeah.
Like that adds a level of distance that is always going to be there.
Well, the funny thing is, and I mean, it's not there yet, obviously, but it is rapidly coming. They now have it where, like, with the Apple, whatever the hell they're calling them, these iPhone, earphones, whatever,
AirPods. I got one yesterday.
Did you? I wanted to get them. They didn't fit on my ears. I got tiny ears. I got tiny everything. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, I put them in my ear, and I couldn't. You know, I guess for me, it didn't work. But like the way that the technology, as I understand it, is I literally would be able to have you like with my phone here. You don't have to talk directly in it. I can have it out, have the app running, and it has a conversation we're having right now. It's sitting in front of us, and you're talking, and it's going in my ear in my language, no matter what language you're in.
I think nonetheless, there's still going to be distance.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like it's just not the same as like. I'm trying to say something and it's going in your ear and you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like that is always going to be missing regardless of how far this technology comes. And like, yes, it has a long way to come. But even if it goes like all the way, like we get a really good thing going here, you are always missing something in translation and you are always missing this sort of direct connection with someone. And that's something that people want. Like there will be people who choose not to learn languages based on tools like this existing. But I think there will like you look at like a wish list, a bucket list of people. And like those bucket lists, like if you look online in terms of statistics and stuff, it's always I want to find love, I want to get in shape, and then like the third one on there
language.
Is like I want to learn a language. Like it's on there almost
it
all the time.
It is always on there.
Like it's sort of tied with like I want to maybe learn how to do music of some sort. Like those are sort of the four that sit on the top of the list.
All very difficult things that take focus and some sort of organizational skill and commitment and things that people have not.
Exactly that thing. Right. And like that I don't think that's going to change because Google comes up with a cool thing.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I hope so. I hope people don't just stop speaking. That would be awesome if the whole world would just, you know, continue to learn other things. So before we head out here, I got to ask you, we've got to go back to that one little rumor about that. The number one most funded app of all time in Kickstarter. How did you guys get that? Like, why do you think that was? What was the...
I mean, we saw a need.
How did you get there?
We saw this need among our customers and readers where it was like they all wanted this thing. And I kept asking them, like, what do you want? And they were like, we want this thing. And I was like, you sure this thing? And they're like, yeah, this thing. So like that was already there as a base. But on top of that, like language learning apps, like if I did this 3 years ago, I would be able to say, hey, guys, I have a cool idea. I hope you like it. And that's it.
Yeah.
And it would have done okay, maybe. But now it's been like 3.5 years since my book came out. People have been using this stuff. They've been using a harder to use version of it, but they've been using it. And now I have like hundreds or potentially thousands of people who are fluent in new languages. And they're willing to go up on video and on text and be like, hey guys, like I speak three languages I didn't speak last year and I did this to do it.
Yeah.
That kind of social proof. It just doesn't exist for language learning apps. Like, I've not seen it anywhere else.
And it's funny, as you mentioned, that whole, like, that it's like the number four or five thing on everyone's list of things they want to do.
Yeah. And so, like, getting people...
I want to go to Spain. I don't want to learn Spanish, but I want to go to Spain.
Right. So, like, I think that that kind of social proof is kind of a big ingredient here, where you show someone a language learning app, and the first response is like, ah, is it going to work?
Yeah.
And then you show people a whole bunch of people that have used it. And they're like, yeah, it totally works. Like, I can't wait for this app so it'll work faster. And people tend to jump on that thing because, like, why wouldn't you want that?
That's awesome. Very cool. This has been really, really very interesting, Gabriel. Where do people go to download this app? Where do people go to learn more about all of your stuff? And, of course, where do people go to buy that book?
I mean, the book you can find on Amazon anytime you or anywhere, basically. It's Fluent Forever. And if you Google Fluent Forever, you know, app, you will find that on Google. But basically, the most direct way is we have a redirect at kickstarter.fluent, F-L-U-E-N-T, -forever, F-O-R-E-V-E-R.com.
Very cool. And continue the great work of maintaining the number one most funded app on Kickstarter.
I will
ever,
attempt to maintain that status, yes.
You have to. You've got to make sure if somebody else comes out and beats that.
Right.
You unretire.
Right.
You come up with a whole new shit and you run that down the...
I will.
Run that down the feed again.
I swear it.
You promise?
Maybe.
I don't want you to ever come back in here and not have the number one most funded app on Kickstarter. That would blow my mind.
All right,
I would be very offended. because this is my new marketing thing. I'm going to be talking about this all the time.
Please do talk about it all the time.
I will. Don't worry about it. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.